An oil company's application to build a jet park next to a marae in Mount Maunganui has been withdrawn during a court process. It's a win for Whareroa Marae, which has been calling for a managed retreat of industry nearby, saying that it's polluting the air and water near their marae. The consent's been declined and the decision challenged in the Court of Appeal, but that challenge has now been dropped. Whareroa Marae Environment spokesperson Joel Ngātuere joins me to discuss this. Tēnā koe, Joel.
Tēnā koe. Thank you for having us.
Take us through everything that's happened. Why did you oppose the application by Timaru Oil Services?
We opposed it. Yes, to be honest, there's a myriad of reasons. One is that our community is totally surrounded with heavy industry. And we've actually been trying for generations now to try and get them out because of the harm that it's doing to our children and also to our elderly. So to have another one coming in was you know, just going to cause maybe more pain. Further to that is we felt that it wasn't the best process in terms of leaving the community up because it was going to be a minimum 35-year commitment to not only us at Whareroa, but also to the wider Mount Maunganui community. And what we're hearing from Pākehā and Māori and Tauri alike right throughout the mountains, everybody's had enough and the guts full of heavy industry, running the city.
So if we're looking at this application from Timaru Oil Services specifically, what were they wanting to do exactly?
So they wanted to put four more fuel tank farms right on our doorstep. When I say doorstep, it's literally a stone's throw away from a number of the houses. And they wanted to bring in another 175 trucks per week on top of the already hundreds and hundreds of trucks that we have on our small road where our kids walk to school. And then they wanted to truck a large portion of that fuel up to Auckland Airport. So it was to ship the fuel in, store it here, and then drive trucks from Tauranga to Auckland Airport. And again, we didn't feel that was, a responsible carbon footprint. It just so happens that when we're in the Environmental Court, that was the same day that the Prime Minister called for a climate change emergency.
So how long has this been going on in the courts?
With Timaru Oil, so we were engaging with Timaru Oil. So Timaru Oil is actually a subsidiary for a large international corporation based out of Tahiti, a French cohort. They came and engaged with us early last year, and all interactions that we've said was, look, we will never accept your tank farm coming right on top of us. We may mention, look, we're trying to get all these other guys out. Why would we welcome you with open arms? So it's been an ongoing process. We were meeting with them during COVID. There was a pause. We met with them again in the Environmental Court.
What was their reaction to the court's decision?
Obviously, they were disappointed because they lodged an appeal on the final day. And then in mediation, again, they were obviously disappointed. They'd been made promises. This is from the company. Had been made promises from the Port of Tauranga that they could mosey on into to our area because the Port of Tauranga actually owned that parcel of land. And so they signed up on a long-term lease, 40-year term lease, and they expected it to be a shoe in the park. But thankfully, the I guess the environmental commissioner has seen what on the day saw for what it was.
How many people live at the marae?
So we've got a community. We've got a standing community. Because we've got residents from the marae, and I guess just and those that are not. Then we've got our retirement village or Kaumatua place, and we've also got Kohanga Reo for our babies. And we've also, on top of that, we've got Te Runanga or Naitarangi, or the Naitarangi iwi office. And so we've got, a standing community of about 151 people, and that grows. Out of that 151, 79% are either below 12 or over 60. So why I say that is because those are the two, at-risk, most at-risk groups. We're talking about being exposed, long-term exposure to chemicals and particulate matter in the air.
What does this decision regarding Timaru Oil mean for the industry that is already existing around the marae?
Well, hopefully it's a wake-up call that, you can't just, while you are, technically allowed to operate under the national environmental standards, morally, you know that you're killing people. You know that you're harming children and poisoning babies right next door to you. So what that means for them, that's up for them to say, really. But more importantly, what's it mean to the shareholders that buy into these organisations or the people that use their services?
When you're talking about poisons, what do you mean exactly?
So a number of these industries, including Balance, Agri-Nutrients, they get, resource consents from the regional council to be able to discharge chemicals into the air. If it's sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, hydrogen sulfide, particulate matter, which is your invisible dust, they're all getting consents from the regional council. That's like as mentioned, it's the long term exposure to these chemicals which is harming people. So we've actually got a monitoring station, which regional council, between the regional council, have put, which is right next to our Kohanga Reo. The quantitative data that's actually coming out of there is showing that our community is being exposed to dangerous levels of all of the chemicals, in particular matter that I've just mentioned, every hour of the day. So it's not a breach, a spike, or one spike, while it might, make us nauseous and give us headaches and migraines and stuff like that. The real damage is when you're being exposed to these chemicals, in particulate matter, every hour of every day. But when you're getting exposed to it every hour of the day, which our children are, and elderly, then that's a real concern.
Joel, could you just repeat which chemicals are being measured at dangerous levels?
So we've got sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and hydrogen sulfide, as well as particulate matter, PM10.
And I also understand that there was a scare in April regarding PFAS. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so one of the industries that is right on top of us, Lauter Chemical Solutions, we're in the process of wanting to do a resource consent with regional council and what they had to turn soil. And in doing so, they had to test the soil. When they tested the soil, it was found to have PFAS inside the soil there. we didn't know this until what we found out, this information when Papua Regional Council called us in urgently on a Saturday night to give us this information to let us know that there was obvious concerns around the PFAS. They went into testing around locations around the marae. They've found traces. While they didn't find traces in the drinking water, there's traces of PFAS in the water, which runs in the stream that runs parallel with our marae and runs straight out into our, I guess, the bay where we would have where we would normally allow our children to swim, or where we would have traditionally gathered kaumwana. On top of that, Regional Council still haven't conducted a thorough investigation in terms of all the other industries and that are surrounding us and right throughout the Mount to get a full, I guess, understanding of what they're actually dealing with. So when they say things like, you know, there's no concern around the PFAs, it's actually really irresponsible. While we've come to expect that from them, but it's actually really irresponsible for them to say that. Just like it's really irresponsible for the chair of Aotearoa Regional Council to minimise the whole situation by saying, "Oh well, PFAs are in everything from shampoo to makeup." While that might be true, it's only in very small traces. The real concern is when it's in our ground. In the land and right next to us, especially when we've got such a high water table. Further to that is that our kaumātua or the chairman of our marae has made the conscious decision when he asked the regional council, "Can you put your hand on your heart and say that people are safe if we put our hāngi in the ground and we feed them that?" And they couldn't give him the answer. They couldn't give him, I guess, an honest answer. So he's had to make that decision and make that call to tell us that we're not to do any hāngi in the ground. And he's also asked our whānau to be mindful to be very careful if we're going to be swimming in the water surrounding us.
So when was the last time you had put down a hāngi?
Well, it was before the PFAs, that's for sure, before the PFAs, yes, so... it was before April, so we haven't put any hāngi in. While we would quite often have hāngi for visitors at our marae and for family gatherings, look, we just don't do them in the ground anymore.
So where is the conversation up to with the council around the PFAs?
Well, we're waiting for them to complete their investigation, and because we've said, well, if we're looking at PFAs in the soil down in Ohakia and Woodburn, and looking at that what could possibly going on here, we said, look, you need to go away and do a full investigation. So not only they know, but so we know, and all residents right throughout Mount Maunganui and Tauranga.
But there's no timing from the council yet.
Not as yet. And as you're aware, it's, you know, this came out in April. We're now towards the end of July. How important this is to them? I guess that's a question for them. But I guess it doesn't help when we've got the Doug Lee, the chair, trying to minimise the whole situation.
But I believe in the meantime you've spoken at the United Nations.
So we've reached out to, we've been trying to, I guess, make contact or invite the government to come back to El Marae. So 1 week before elections, was quite ironic with the timing, they came to El Marae and, made promises that there would be follow-up if they were to get back into government. So we all obviously know the result. And on that day, we said that we'd reach out to them to confirm their commitment to their promises after the dust settled and their feet are firmly back under the desk. We've made contact a couple of times, and we keep on getting, unfortunately, getting brushed to the side. And this is coming from the Māori caucus. So of the government, which is a shock and very disappointing. So really we're left with no other choice because, you know, our country signed up to the United Nations Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous People. And if we're looking at whareo, and we're looking at seeing our children are getting poisoned, you know, deliberately poisoned, and we're seeing elderly die from, I guess, this long-term exposure to these chemicals. It's nothing but a fail in terms of this country, and it's a shame on the government to and the Prime Minister not to, I guess, even respond or attempt to come back to Aumarai or I guess, engage with us to try and make us feel safe. Because at the moment, it's not a safe place, you know. I mean, my wife and I had to make the decision, you know, and it tore our hearts to have to relocate our whānau away from the marae, and sever the connection of our children from being raised on their marae. But, you know, it's a risk that we can't run, because we know that children are getting headaches. We know children are spewing up, you know. We know that children are getting asthma attacks for no reason. But when they're not even running around, we know that children are getting sore eyes, nose, throat. So what do? You've got to make a decision, and that's what we did as parents. We just hope that those that are in leadership positions finally make a responsible decision as well.
So a couple of things there, Joel. When you say people have died, do you have exact scientific proof that the pollution in and around Whareroa Marae has caused people to die?
So what we've got proof is that we've had two of our elders pass away in the last roughly 18 months. I'll talk to the second one. So during COVID lockdown, obviously we stayed at home. Well, we stayed at home like everybody else. All of the heavy industries that are surrounding us, their productivity shot through the roof. When I say heavy industry, they're 40 metres away from our closest home and 80 metres away from our retirement village or Komato flats. Now, during COVID, I would go and check on our kaumātua every day to make sure that they were okay. I'd drop flour off, drop milk, do grocery runs, and just generally check on them and make sure everyone's well-being. Now, we all noticed that there was a 48-hour window of increased air pollution because all of us were coughing I guess, showing symptoms, headache and whatnot. So when I went and checked on our elders, two of our nannies were really struggling to breathe because of the air pollution. Now I ended up taking one of our nannies to her doctors, out in Papamo, and her doctor said to her, "Look, Whai, you're getting sick because you're living at your marae." Now we went and followed that up with the data that come from our monitoring station. And the day that everybody showed the signs and symptoms of the exposure, and the day that that day when our elderly fell ill, mirrored the data of showing the increase in air pollution. Now, that our nanny, she never recovered from that. She struggled to breathe, and she had huge respiratory problems because of that. She didn't have them as much before, but after that bout, she never recovered. Now, we buried her around about 6 weeks ago. So while the regional council, city council, the government, or anyone listening might say, "Oh, well, it's not related," look, when you're living here, you know what's related. And, you know, we've got the data to show that, you know, there was an increase in air pollution, that everybody fell sick, including her. I guess the doctor's narrative, plus the fact that she was never able to recover because of that. So I guess that's one part of the evidence. But the other part is, why do children just start spewing up when they're walking along the footpath? Why do kids sit there and they're drawing and they're getting asthma attacks? You know, why are kids constantly getting sore nose, eyes, throat? Why are kids getting, respiratory problems and headaches? And not only that, you know, we're getting Papua regional staff that come to monitor when we call them. They'll turn up and they'll monitor in person. They start getting sick. Now, we had two staff members come to our from Oranga Tamariki turn up at our marae for a workshop about 6 weeks ago, and they fell sick. So what's in the air? It's, you know, people can't be turning up to a marae and just getting sick and struggling to breathe for no reason.
I'm struggling to work out why there aren't any answers or people that are following up on your questions.
What I can say is that, you know, while we've been deliberately ring-fenced with all of these heavy industries, you know, this isn't a Māori issue. This is the air pollution that is affecting us. It may be different chemicals and it may be different particulate matter, but it's affecting families right throughout Mount Maunganui. You know, Pākehā, you know, your average day European Pākehā child, grandfather, grandmother, mum and dad that are just trying to raise their kids, it's affecting people right throughout the mount. You know, we're getting inundated with people in our community reaching out to us and saying, look, we're really struggling here. Thank you for stepping up. How can we help? Can you help us with this industry that's affecting us? And of course we will, because that's our responsibility as neighbours. It's our responsibility as Kiwis. But it's also our responsibility as Māori being out in our marae, being that we're the kaitiaki for the mount. So if our community is getting harmed, then it falls on us because we're the marae that for our community.
So what's the next steps, John, for you?
The next steps, there's a number. The thing is that there's so many. You know, there's issues going on with the Port of Tauranga, which the Bay of Plenty Regional Council actually own the majority shares of, over 50%. You know, and it's unpacking what next, because while we did get the win with the Timaru Oil, you know, they were promised that opportunity by the Port of Tauranga. So who are the Port of Tauranga going to make their next promise to? You know, we've got PFAs in the soil. We know that. We know we've got heavy metals in the soil. We know that, you know, there's ongoing poison. So, I guess chemical violence upon our children and families. So it's what next? We've got so many battles, I guess, that are ongoing. So many issues with regional council, city council. We'll just keep on working with our wider community right throughout the mount. We'll keep working with Emma Jones from Clear the Air. Our door remains open for the government or any other minister or anyone else that would like to come through. What we do ask is that you don't politicise this issue, because when you do, you have to remember that it's involving our babies and our elderly.
Ngā mihi nui, John, for your time and for taking us through everything that you're experiencing there at Whareroa Marae, Mount Maunganui.
E mea na kia kui a kia koutou hoki.
Ai, kia pai tōpō.